Simple lesson this morning about the tongue, the correct and incorrect use of the tongue. Just very recently, we had a lesson emphasizing worship and the importance of singing, and that's what we'll be doing around the throne of God if we're faithful and are received into His presence. In this lesson this morning, we'll be mostly dealing with incorrect use of the tongue, but at the close, a few positive statements. As all of us know, the tongue can cause a tremendous amount of harm. And of course, it can also do a lot of good. Preaching, teaching, singing, serving God, as we're doing this morning, we're using the gift of speech. Christ summed it up, Matthew 12:37, by your words, you'll be justified. Imagine that. That's not the only factor, of course, in judgment, but that's a major factor. By your words, you'll be justified, and by your words, you'll be condemned. Matthew 12:37. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's a pretty broad statement. Covers a lot of ground. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. Someone might say, well, you know, you're quoting a lot from the Old Testament, but there are certain truths, as you well know, that are truth at any time, under any dispensation, at any age, whenever. There are certain truths that are always truths. James says in chapter 3 and verse 2, if anyone does not stumble in words, think of this. Think of this criterion, this measure. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. That's an amazing statement. But in order to control the tongue, of course, we have to control the heart. Here's the source. Here's where our words come from. Control the tongue, we have to control the heart. Mark 7:21, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, wickedness, blasphemy, and of course a long list of sins. And then in chapter 12 of Matthew in verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever we say, good or bad, significant or insignificant, it's coming out of the heart. So let's just briefly, we'll just mention several things and read some appropriate scriptures. We need to be conscious of these every day, all of us, every day. We need to be conscious. And be on guard and be careful. And when we stumble along this line, just keep in mind we need to back up and purify the source of it all. Well, let's start with what God really hates. Lying. And of course, it takes on many, many forms. A person will lie to cover another sin. A person will lie. And here's where we all have to be very careful. To avoid hurting someone's feelings. Or to take advantage of others. Or, of course, and this is perhaps the most common cause, and that is to avoid problems, especially punishment. To avoid being punished for something we misrepresented, we lie about it. Proverbs 6:17. God hates the lying tongue. God is a God of truth. Ephesians 4:25, Paul discusses putting off the old man, putting on the new man. He says, put away lying. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor. We're talking here primarily, of course, of brethren. We're talking about brethren. For we are members of one another. Just imagine any member of the physical body working against any other member of the physical body. It has to work in perfect harmony and, of course, according to truth, in order to function as it should. Lying. Don't lie to bill collectors. Like a little boy tells the bill collector, Mama says she's not here. Or to the IRS. There's a big one. There's one we all have to wrestle with. We want to get all the deductions we can and keep the figure as low as possible, or to the employer, or to customers, and on and on. And not say we're sick just so we don't have to go to work or go to school or go to church. You can't deceive God. Absolutely, God is not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You can't play games with God. He knows. So often someone says, feeling bad. Didn't go to church because he's feeling bad. Well, did he feel too bad to go to work? Did he feel too bad to go to school? Did he feel too bad to go to the mall? Feel too bad to visit? We got to be cold honest with God because he is not deceived. Lying is lying. Here's a very powerful statement. I'm sure you're aware of it. Revelation 21:8 and the Bible says all. A-double-L. All. Just no exceptions. All liars. They're not going to heaven, that's all. They're going to have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Now why in the very last of the Bible, why single out this one thing? That shows, brethren, how serious this matter is. Well, gossip. What is gossip? How would you define it? My dictionary says chatter, chatter, repeat, rumors, especially about the private matters of others. That's about it, isn't it? That boils down to just about what gossip is. Defame, slander. Leviticus 19:16 is a good rule. For any age you shall not go about as a talebearer among your people. A talebearer, Proverbs 11:13, reveals secrets. Of course, that's what makes them interesting. That's what makes gossip so, we say, juicy, so interesting. You know, we're revealing secrets. But he who is faithful, of a faithful spirit, conceals a matter. Let's see if this sounds familiar to anybody. Let's see if this is familiar. She told me what you told her in confidence. And she told me not to tell you what she said. So don't tell her I told you. Did you ever hear anybody talk that way? Did we ever talk that way? What's the most interesting isn't always what's best. Remember that if somebody will reveal a secret about someone else to you, then what? If somebody will reveal a secret about somebody else to you, what's the flip side of the story? Do the same thing to others about you. My co-worker, Glenn Rogers, down on the border, we worked together for years and years. And one day I said, Glenn, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you this in confidence. You know what he said? He said, okay. So when I tell others I'll tell them it's confidential. I'll take care of it. You better be careful, because that may be exactly what what the person is. Okay, yeah, and when I tell somebody else, I'll tell them, now this is confidential. Proverbs 26:20, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no talebearer, contention quiets down. Proverbs 16:28, a whisperer separates the best of friends. Did you ever hear of that happening? Did you ever know of anybody that actually caused a separation of the best of friends? Here's a good one to remember. Proverbs 25:23, the north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance. What does that mean? What does that mean? A backbiting tongue brings an angry countenance. That means someone is frowning. They're not smiling. They're not enjoying. They're frowning. To say, in effect, that you have no business talking that way. That's like saying, I want you to know that my ears are not a trash can. So, the lesson there in that is, don't encourage, but resist the gossiper. Do we like to hear those who criticize and condemn, especially our own brethren? Do we criticize and even make fun of other brethren so that what we feel more holy or something? We feel more faithful? Put them down to raise ourselves? Or what's our reason? What's our motivation? Why do we do it? Do we talk about others, even brethren, because we aren't capable? We don't have the mental acumen to discuss Bible subjects, or at least important ideas and subjects? We have to lower ourselves to the level of being a talebearer, a gossip, just talking about somebody to their hurt, to their embarrassment. We need to be very, very careful. We need to examine our hearts very carefully along this line. I heard of some preachers that got together one day, and they were real good friends. They were real close. And they knew they could, you know, they could help each other. So they just started admitting some of their faults. And one of them said, well, I'll be honest with you. I have a problem with money, overspending and debt and so forth. Another one mentioned some other problems that once in a while I'm just overwhelmed. Get a glass of wine or a beer or something. Another one said, well, my problem is women. Another one said, well, I'll tell you the truth, my problem is gossip, and I got to go right now. So be careful. Remember that the damage done to someone's reputation cannot be repaired. Well, I'll fix it. No, you won't. The wound is too deep. It's too widespread. Release feathers from a pillow. Get up on the roof and release the feathers from a pillow in a high wind, and then go gather up all the feathers. That's how much chance you have of undoing the damage done to someone's reputation. Brethren, you know what I'm saying is true. You know. A preacher can be destroyed. An elder can be destroyed by loose talk, by rumors, by insinuations. You know, this is serious business. This is very, very serious business. We're talking about the security of our souls. Proverbs 18:13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly. Shame. Get your facts straight. Get the whole picture and get your facts straight. Be sure of what we're saying. Proverbs 18:17, the first one to plead his cause seems right. Well, that sounds logical. That sounds right. Until his neighbor comes and examines him. Good thought. Real good point. Well, what about flattery? Well, it's pure hypocrisy to praise someone in his presence and then knife him in the back in his absence. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. That's where you talk to a person and you love them and you're wanting to help them and correct them. You're really a friend. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. Proverbs 28:23. And then there are cutting words. The tongue is sharper than a sword. The tongue wounds. The tongue cuts. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. Proverbs 15 and verse 18. Colossians 3 and verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter. And the word can be rendered harsh towards them. This is the one that boggles my mind. I cannot imagine a man using harsh, cutting words with his wife. No, the wife using harsh, cutting words with her husband. We're one flesh. We have become one flesh. We are one. And what we do to our wife or husband, we do to ourselves. Sarcasm. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. But the tongue of the wise promotes health. Proverbs 12:18. Psalms 140, verse 3, they sharpen their tongues like a serpent. Another, Jeremiah 9:8, their tongue is a deadly arrow. And then we have a good bit of reference in Ephesians and Colossians of corrupt speech. Let no corrupt word. That'd be filthy, ugly, dirty, rotten. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good, for necessary edification. That's a very, very important key in our conversation. Do we build up or do we tear down? Do we edify or do we destroy? What is good for edification? Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. You remember Christ said in Matthew 12, idle, every idle word you're given account of in the judgment day, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. There again, giving thanks, singing, praising God, praying, talking to others about the gospel. No foolish talking, no coarse jesting, which are not fitting, So much. The world, all those round about it, so many. That's what they enjoy. Sexual jokes and insinuations, and on the TV, the videos are complete, they're replete. Just full of corrupt. And you know, the problem is in our country, more and more and more, we get used to it. We get used to it. It becomes acceptable. Things, that, words that when I was a child, a teenager, words that were just absolutely not used, now are used just as if they're perfectly acceptable. Christians cannot drift with the tide. Christians cannot go with the flow. We've got to resist all of these tendencies toward such filthiness. And here's an extremely important one. A profane use of the name of God. And this is very broad. I really think that back in the Ten Commandments, the primary thought is not to swear falsely. Take the name of God in vain. But there's many other applications of the term. Now, in the time of Jesus, there was a great deal of swearing, which was hypocritical. And you read about this in Matthew 23 and also in James chapter 5, where people would say, now you can't swear by that, but you can swear by this. And of course, that was just pure hypocritical swearing. But brethren, let's get down to our everyday conversation. Many times, the name of God or the name of Jesus Christ, these names are used in exclamations, just expressions, excitement or anger or fear or some way, just used as bywords. And this is very much out of order. We need to reserve the name of God and Jesus Christ for holy and proper use. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And like I said, that, of course, it does involve swearing, but it involves everything else. Psalms 111, verse 9, holy and awesome. And King James said reverend. Holy and reverend is his name. The tongue is used, unfortunately, it's used to sow discord among brethren. And there's that list again in Proverbs 6 of things that God hates. And one of the seven things that God hates is sowing discord among brethren. What about murmuring? You remember the references to murmuring in the New Testament? Murmuring, complaining, criticizing with a bad attitude. Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Do all things without complaining and disputing. You remember how that chapter begins? Philippians chapter 2, well, the entire letter. But if Philippians chapter 2 starts out by saying, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. In verse 5, have the mind of Christ in you and all of that. And then come on down to verse 14, do all things without complaining. Brethren, do we complain? Brothers and sisters, how about that? Are we guilty of complaining? Do we really, really count our blessings every day and just think of all the wonderful things that God is doing for us and completely eliminate complaining from our vocabulary? Have we grown enough to rise above complaining and murmuring? Paul says, do this. Do all things without complaining or murmuring. And then he adds that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. All things without complaining and murmuring and disputing. James 4:11, do not speak evil of one another. James has a lot to say about the tongue. James, of course, he leans pretty heavily upon the Sermon on the Mount. But in James, you see over and over references to the tongue and the proper use of it. What about cursing? Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Expressions that use the terms hell and damn in any form are curse words. And these are the words that are now being used freely in newspapers and TV and videos, just like nothing. But these are curse words. And then what about sissy cussing? A lot of people think that they take care of this. I wouldn't use any of those curse words. But then they'll change damn to darn. And they'll use the term heavens instead of saying God. But God is not deceived. This is comparable to what's referred to as the loose swearing of Matthew 23 and James 5. We need to reserve the name of God, the name of Jesus Christ, as being sacred. And not that there are those who want to euphemize and soften it down and say gosh instead of God or golly instead of God. Well, you're not deceiving anybody but yourself. We know what we're saying. G, what's that? Instead of saying Jesus, we just stop with the G. We're Christian, and like Paul said, you need to be lights in the world. You need to have a vocabulary that is exemplary and let people notice the difference. That they don't talk the way other people talk. They don't use the common expressions that people use that, as if they were nothing. But what about simply talking too much? Is that a danger? Is that a danger? Is it dangerous just to be talking a lot? In the multitude of words, Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. I was holding a meeting in Dallas one time, and the preacher there also had a congregation of people that were deaf, and he could preach with his hands. And we were at the table, we were at breakfast, and one of the ladies was there also, and she was just talking with her hands. Just talking, just her hands just flying, you know, just flying. And this brother, you know how he exhorted her? He did this. Cut her tongue off. And he said this, he told me, he said, what she says is true. But man, she knows a lot of truth. So we need to ask ourselves, okay, so it's true. But why are we saying it? And is it going to do good? Is it going to do good or is it going to do harm? Is it going to be helpful or hurtful? You know, we don't have to tell everything we know. We don't have to tell every truth that we know, do we? There is much truth that should not be repeated. Why? Well, it doesn't do any good. It doesn't help. It doesn't edify. So what's our purpose? It's just entertainment. We're just entertaining ourselves. It, you know, people like to hear it. We like to say it. And they like to hear it. But we need to be very, very careful because Christ said, By your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. But he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 13:3. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool. Think about this. This is tremendous. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, considered wise. He may be a fool, but if he keeps his mouth shut, you don't know it. That's like we say sometimes, don't show your ignorance. Like this mother told a little boy, I said, now son, you just keep your mouth shut. Don't be talking. She knew that, you know, she knew he wasn't all that smart. And said, just be quiet. And so someone walked up to him and asked him a couple of questions, and he just kept his mouth shut. And the lady said, he's not very bright, is he? He said, Mama, they found out anyway. We don't have to reveal our ignorance. And sometimes by just keeping quiet, we're considered wise. With good reason then, James says in chapter 3 and verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. We need to read and study. I could have just made a whole sermon on James chapter 3. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Going back to James 3 and verse 2, if anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle. There's the one I want. That's the word I want to point out. He is able to bridle the whole body. If I can bridle my tongue, I can bridle my whole body. And then James used the illustration of bits in the horse's mouth. Here's a very, very well-known, very common thing. Everybody knows this. Here's this humongous horse, great big animal. And yet the bit in his mouth, with that bit in his mouth, the rider, even if it's just a boy or a girl, can control that horse. A little bit in the mouth of a humongous animal. And James, that's the way it is. Your tongue is like a bridle in your mouth, but it controls the whole body. That's a lot to think about. You know what? That is a lot to think about. Oh, just, you know, every day we talk. We talk a lot. We say a lot. In a day's time, what all have we said? We've said lots of things in a day's time. Okay. Do we perhaps need to bridle our tongue and our body? There are words now on the positive side. Words that save, of course. And edify, Proverbs 12 and 18, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. And of course, the most important thing for us as Christians after praying to God, singing to God, worshiping God, is to teach the gospel. Those who were scattered, Acts 8 and verse 4, this is a persecution at the time of Saul and when Stephen was killed. Those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. They didn't go everywhere like scared rabbits. They didn't go everywhere hiding and keeping quiet. And they went everywhere opening their mouths and speaking. Just like in Acts 8 and verse 35, Philip opened his mouth. He opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. In this way, we spread knowledge, the knowledge of the Word of God. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, Proverbs 15:2. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, Proverbs 15:7. Relatives, friends, the members do not know the Bible. There are many people, even in our own families and among our friends and associates, who do not know the Bible. We need to be speaking Bible truths to those who will listen. If each person in this congregation, each person, each family, would have only one Bible study, 1 hour or even a half an hour a week, each family One class, 1 hour or a half an hour each week, the result would be marvelous. I guarantee it'd be conversions, it'd be restorations, it'd be better attendance, it'd be growth of every kind. How we need to use the tongue as the Lord wants us to use it. And in all of this, of course, encourage each other. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But a good word makes it glad. Proverbs 12:25. Now here's where we need to work in all these passages that say one another, to serve one another and to encourage one another and to exhort one another and all of these, using the tongue in that way. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Proverbs 15:23, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. And we are, as Christians, brethren, we are capable of speaking good words. We can impart knowledge, turning on the light of understanding of many people. It's just a matter of doing it. We need to use the tongue to exhort each other in love. As Hebrews 3 says, exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:13. And then I'm sure you're familiar with this one, Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Beautiful thought. Beautiful, wonderful thought. And of course, as we come to the close of our lesson, we want to emphasize one of the most important things of all, and that is use the tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess that Christ is God the Son. Matthew 10:32, Christ said, if we'll confess Him before men, He'll confess us before the Father and His angels. But something else that we need to use the tongue for, when it's called for, if it is necessary, and that is, as James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray. We need to confess our faults one to another and pray. Matthew 3:6, like the Jews came to John's baptism, confessing their sins. Not simply saying, I have sinned. A lot of time we just cover this all out. We say, okay, if I say I have sinned, then that's it. Well, that's not what we have. That's not what the passages are talking about. Acts 8:22, Peter talking to Simon, and he specified this your wickedness, trying to buy the gift of God with money. Acts 19:18, they came not only saying, we have sinned, but they came confessing their actual deeds. And in the presence of everybody, they burned their books of so-called magic and so forth. Yeah, but people say, yeah, but if you you're making a public confession and you actually specify the sin, that is so shameful. I'm so ashamed. I'm so embarrassed. That's not the problem. Brethren, that's not the problem. The shame is the sin itself. And we should acknowledge it. We should be contrite. We should hate it. We should say it. Sin stains us and contaminates us and enslaves us and will carry our souls to hell. I'm ashamed of it. I'm confessing it. It's mine. I got to get rid of it. God forgive me. You forgive me. That's what we need to do. But sometimes people say, well, I've sinned. And then hope that, you know, that it just floats away. We've got to be careful. This requires humility. And to get rid of the sin, to get forgiveness, for brethren to really know what we're talking about and that we really have repented of it. And of course, God knows. Own up to it. We use the expression, own up to it. if it's mine, accept it. It's mine. It's not, I can't, I can't blame my family. I can't blame the church. I can't blame somebody else. It's mine. Accept it and get rid of it. Confess sin, just as we also confess Jesus Christ. Well, let everyone be swift to hear. James 1:19. Swift to hear, slow to speak. We got two ears, one tongue. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, and here again the word bridle, someone thinks himself to be religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. James 1:26. Psalm 39:1, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue, and I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle. Imagine that. While the wicked are before me. And then finally, Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Is there anyone here this morning that will make that beautiful confession of faith? Romans 10 and verse 10, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And what about the example, a beautiful example in Acts 8, when this man is being taught the gospel and he says, well, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip told him, if you believe, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the confession that you can make this morning, be baptized into Christ. And then use your mouth, your lips, your faculties of speech for God as long as you live. While we stand and sing the invitation song.